I'm Taylor Holbrooks, host of Morning Edition. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make live streams like this one difficult to keep going. Stand up for public media and help fortify WYPR's future. Tell your member of Congress you support WYPR by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org, and thanks.
Welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Before we start today, we're going to talk about housing. But before we get to that, I want to make you aware of a bill that Congress, the House of Representatives, is going to vote on this afternoon at 3:15. The Trump administration, has sent to Congress what's called a rescissions package, which would eliminate $1.1 billion in funding that's already been approved for the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcast. That's the entity that funds NPR and PBS. So if this rescission is approved, it would really just put a halt to services, particularly services in rural communities that rely on public radio and public television. The U.S. House is going to vote on it. It's called H.R. 4. The vote is scheduled for 3:15 this afternoon. And again, understand that this package would rescind all of the money that's already been approved by Congress for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The money that's been approved in this fiscal year, fiscal 2026 and fiscal 2027. So this is separate from the One Big Beautiful Bill, which calls for zeroing out funding moving forward. This is money that public radio stations, public television stations have already counted on for the next two fiscal years. This is a direct threat to the future of public media across our country. So if this is something that concerns you, and we hope it does, I ask you to go to protectmypublicmedia.org. It's protectmypublicmedia.org, and there's a link there where you can email or call your representative. So it's not too late. The vote doesn't happen until 3:15, and I think it's a good idea for our representatives in the House of Representatives to understand the importance of public media, how you feel about it. If you do feel that it is an important dimension of your life, we'd be grateful if you contacted your representative and tell them to vote against H.R. 4. One of the great dissatisfactions about public media from the Trump administration is that they say that the coverage is biased. And today, here on Midday, perhaps we will prove in some small way that that attack is unfounded. Today, we're going to have a conversation about expanding the housing stock in Baltimore City. Mayor Brandon Scott and a few city council members have proposed a package of bills that would change zoning and parking regulations to allow for the development of multifamily housing. So a couple of weeks ago, I spoke with Councilman Ryan Dorsey about the measures. He is a primary sponsor and an advocate. And today, I've invited Jody Landers to be with us to talk about why he and others oppose the bills that the council is considering. So here we have an issue, housing, the zoning and parking regulations that accompany development. And we're hearing from both sides of the aisle on this, both sides of this issue. As I said, we spoke with Councilman Dorsey, and he asserts that despite a decline in Baltimore's population, there is a demand for housing, and that making it more plentiful would, in his view, increase Baltimore's population by a minimum of 5,000 households every year. And that the only thing keeping us from growing our population is the lack of affordable housing. But as I said, Jody Landers is here to talk about why he and others oppose this bill and this approach. So what do you think about multifamily zoning in Baltimore? Will it increase the housing supply and encourage affordable housing? Would it incentivize developers and investors over homeowners and residents? Do you think the changes in zoning and parking regulations as proposed in this package of bills would have a positive or a negative effect on things like vacant housing and home values and the character of neighborhoods? You are welcome to join us. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8255. 8780, our email midday@wipr.org. Let us know what you think. Jody Landers is a former Baltimore City Council member and a former executive director of Harbel, a community organization based in Northeast Baltimore. He's also a former executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors, and he joins me here in Studio A. It's good to see you. It's been a minute.
Good to be with you, Tom.
So give us an overview of why it is you oppose these bills. There are five of them. One is sponsored by the mayor. One is sponsored by Councilman Dorsey. One is sponsored by Councilman Blanchard, another by Councilman Gray, and one by Vice President of the Council, Sharon Green Middleton. Her bill would change the location of the zoning administrator. It's originally in the Department of Housing and Community Development, and she would bring it to the Planning Committee. The mayor wants to zone for low-density multifamily housing. Mr. Dorsey wants to change the code, the zoning code, about single stairs in buildings. Right now, you have to have multiple stairs if you have multiple units. Councilman Blanchard wants to change the requirements for off-street parking. Councilman Gray wants to make amendments to the bulk and yard standard. So give us a 30,000-foot view about why you oppose those.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm really not opposed to all of the bills. The two of the bills, the bill dealing with the change in the zoning authorization, the administrator, and the bill dealing with staircases, they're really not controversial bills. They won't have a big impact on either development or individual neighborhoods. But the other bills, 0064, 0065, and 0066, represent...
So those are the bulk and yard
standards? The bulk and yard standards, the off-street parking requirement, and the multifamily housing development, low-density multifamily. They will have, and they are, a dramatic departure from the zoning code as it exists today in Baltimore City. And I think you have to look at it in a historic context. Since 1972, more than 50 years, the zoning code and the city, as a matter of policy, has made it difficult to convert single-family dwellings to multi-family dwellings. They put the brakes on back in 1972 because they saw that there were a lot of investors converting over single-family houses into multi-family, and they wanted to preserve the single-family housing stock. So for 50 years, that's been a policy. And it isn't just preserving the housing stock. It's preserving open space, green space around housing, and also recognizing that most households have more than one vehicle now. And so it was had a requirement for a certain number of off-street parking spaces when you put in any kind of development. These bills actually subvert that whole 50-year history of preserving that single-family housing. What it says is, and I'll just use one zoning district, R1, for example, is single-family detached housing. R3 is single-family detached housing. So people who bought homes there bought there because they like the ambiance of the neighborhood. They have some green space around them. They're surrounded by other single-family houses. What Bill 0066 does is it says, in any zoning district in the city, regardless of whether it's single-family detached is required, you can develop up to four dwelling units on that property. Four dwelling units. No off-street parking requirements. And so you're increasing the density on any individual lot by 300% in neighborhoods that heretofore have had single-family dwellings. And the home ownership rate in Baltimore City is below 50%. It's declined over the past 20 years.
So right, more than 50% are renters.
More than 50% are already renters. But when you look at neighborhoods around the city that have a lot of detached single-family housing and even row homes, the home ownership rate can be between 70 and 80%. And I just pulled up zip code 21214 this morning. And it in the last census, it showed 76% owner occupancy.
Yeah, Councilman Dorsey told me that there are several, many neighborhoods in Baltimore that have 80% single family
owner occupancy. So, and what this bill does is it says, no, we're not going to preserve that single family housing anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to open it up to investors to come in, purchase those lots, and create multifamily, up to four dwelling units. You know, put this into perspective. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a 300% increase in the density allowed on a specific lot. And I know in my own neighborhood, Tom, and I grew up in Baltimore City. I'm a native Baltimorean. In my neighborhood in Northeast Baltimore, the neighborhood was 95% white. High level of home ownership. In the last 50 years, because of the Civil Rights Act, because of the Fair Housing Act, our neighborhood has changed over to being 65% black families. Most of them own their homes. What I think it's truly a tragedy that we would now say, after 50 years of preserving that single family housing stock that's affordable, we're now going to open it up to investors, and we're going to allow multifamily units in these neighborhoods.
You mentioned that about 50% of Baltimore City residents are renters.
Yes.
But many of those people aspire to buying homes. And what Ryan Dorsey says, and what Mayor Scott is saying, and others on the council who support this legislation, is that these single-family homes have three and four bedrooms, and they don't need that much. What they need is a smaller, the demand is not for large homes. The demand is for smaller, both for apartments to rent and to buy, is for one-bedroom units and two-bedroom units. The demand is not aligned with the stock right now. We have a big stock of large homes, and not enough of the smaller homes that a lot of people want to either rent or buy at a reasonable price.
And that may be true in many neighborhoods, but not in the neighborhoods that are predominantly owner-occupied neighborhoods. I think it's really wonderful that Councilman Dorsey and the mayor say that those people who choose to live in a two and three or four bedroom house really don't need it. And so what we should do is we should now open up.
Well, they may need it, but the people who want to live in a smaller house can't buy one because they can't find one.
And all you have to do is drive through Baltimore City and look at all of the vacant houses and the vacant property that's available for development. Let's incentivize developers to come in and build housing in those areas and not develop a zoning policy that cannibalizes existing single-family dwellings that are affordable. What I find really interesting, you know, is for 50 years, the neighborhood groups have worked to preserve this individual single-family detached housing. It's given Councilman Dorsey, the mayor, Zeke Cohen, an opportunity to purchase a home in these areas. And now they're saying, no, we need to change this policy. It doesn't make any sense. And let me just give you a real concrete example. It's impossible for home buyers to compete against investors. I've been involved in real estate many, many years. So I list a home in Northeast Baltimore, and it's listed for $220,000, very affordable. The home buyers cannot compete against an investor. An investor comes in and says, I'll give you cash, I'll settle in 30 days. There's no appraisal, no inspection. An individual home buyer cannot compete against that. They have to get a mortgage. They're going to need an appraisal. They're going to get a home inspection if they're being properly advised. How can you compete against that? And yet this bill would actually incentivize. It reduces the yard requirements, so it enables developers to go in and put more building on the individual lots. It eliminates the off-street parking requirements and instead establishes off-street parking maximum. So the city is saying you can't put any more than this, but you don't have to put any. You're not required to put any. And in the case of the bill on the multifamily, it's saying any property, regardless of what the zoning is, if it's single family detached or not, you can buy it and build up to 4 units on it.
So and let me remind folks that you are Jody Landers, a former Baltimore City Council member and a former executive director of or executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. We're talking about the package of bills that the city council is in the process of considering, some proposed by Councilman Dorsey, by Mayor Scott and other members of the council, to change zoning and parking laws to or regulations to encourage multifamily dwellings and situations which they contend will lead to greater housing availability and affordability. If you'd like to weigh in on this issue, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org.
And so, you know, by the way, one of the important factors about why it's important for home buyers to be able to compete is, you know, under the existing zoning, if an investor buys a single-family detached house, the only thing they can do is rehab it and resell it as a single-family detached
house.
Under current law. If this bill passes and this package of bills pass, the investor will be able to put multiple units on the same lot, reduce the green space and the open space around it, and not have to provide any off-street parking.
How do we turn the tide with the fact that the city is losing population? We actually gained 752 people in the last census, but that's the first time in years that that's been the case. People are leaving the city and not coming into the city for a variety of reasons. And people say that density of housing is good for the businesses that are adjacent to those neighborhoods, to create job opportunities for people. And if people can't afford these, you know, gigantic houses, the bigger houses, if we have more people living within each of these structures, guys like Charlie Duff, he's been on the show. He's an architect and architectural historian, talks about actually growing the population because the number of people in houses back in the day used to be much greater. I mean, grandma and grandpa lived with you, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law lived with you. You had cousins and uncles and aunts sometimes in addition to the so-called nuclear family. How do we do it? Is there, in your view, enough current housing or current available space that could be developed for multifamily units that wouldn't require the currently single family units to be transferred?
I think we need to incentivize developers to come in and develop in the neighborhoods that have the vacant houses and the open space. In all of the neighborhoods that would be the target of this bill, they have a viable housing market. And many neighborhoods have affordable housing already. And that's why people are motivated to buy in these areas. I'm assuming that's why the mayor bought a home in Northeast Baltimore, because of the characteristics. And he could have bought anywhere. He could have bought in any neighborhood. I think they need to incentivize. I think they need to target where they want the development to go and not use a broad brush approach that's just going to devour single family detached and dramatically alter the character of neighborhoods. And that's part of the issue here. A neighborhood is more than just density and the number of dwelling units. Neighborhoods have character. And when you start to increase densities without regard for what that character is, you're going to dramatically alter the character of a neighborhood.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about this notion of character on the other side. Jody Landers is our guest as we are discussing proposed zoning changes that would impact Baltimore's housing and parking and development in residential areas. To join us, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org. And before we go to break, we remember Brian Wilson, the brilliant innovator who led the Beach Boys to pop stardom and gained admirers from Paul McCartney to Bob Dylan to fans around the world. Brian Wilson died yesterday at the age of 82.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, WYPR's news director Matt Bush will be the guest host. He'll discuss Baltimore's multimillion-dollar opioid settlements and the path forward for using the funds from those settlements. The future of the Aberdeen Ironbirds is on his agenda, and he's going to talk about the state's new official cocktail, the Orange Crush. So that's coming up on Midday with Matt Bush tomorrow. And if you're just joining us today, we're discussing proposed legislation in the Baltimore City Council, which is designed to increase housing availability and affordability throughout the city. My guest is Jody Landers. He's a former Baltimore City Council member, a former executive director of Harbel, which is based in Northeast Baltimore, and a former executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. What are your thoughts about increasing density of housing in some of our neighborhoods that have mostly single-family homes? Join us at 410-662-8780 or email midday@wipr.org. So, Jody, when we talk about the character of a neighborhood, you're talking about a bunch of neighborhoods that do have a lot of vacant housing. Why don't we, develop those? And that's certainly something that, the mayor's working on and people have been working on for decades. Why can't it be a yes and? Why is it that some neighborhoods, which right now are more desirable than those neighborhoods that, you're thinking about when it comes to the vacant houses, can't also be a place that people who don't own a home yet can aspire to?
Well, I think if this bill were targeted where you have vacant space or you have vacant commercial area and you want to put in increased density and rental units, one of the issues here is this bill will lead to a lot more rental units. Now, I think we need to give a shout out to why home ownership is important. Home ownership creates neighborhood stability. The average rental tenancy is about 3 years. The average homeowner stays in their home for 10 years. That's on average. In my neighborhood and neighborhoods around Baltimore City, you have people who've been in the neighborhood for 30 years. So it creates neighborhood stability. It helps to contribute to family stability. One of the big differences, one of the things that separates black families from white families is home ownership. So it contributes to household wealth. And we know how important that is in terms of stability in families. And there have been multiple studies that have been done that show that even when they look at there's a correlation between children's performance in school and whether or not they live in an owner-occupied home because they're not moving around so much. So there's a whole host of beneficial social and economic benefits that come from home ownership. So the issue is, why would we create an incentive to shift over these owner-occupied single-family detached houses to more rental units? Let's do the rental units where they're needed and where we have the space without diminishing the supply of single
family
houses.
And I think that the, and not that I'm here to speak for the mayor and Councilman Dorsey or Council President Cohen, but I think the answer is that, you know, the demand for one-bedroom units is just simply way outpaces the demand for three- and four-bedroom units.
So build just more people. Rental units.
Right. So the rental and rental units can be in the city can be a gateway to eventual home ownership. But they got to come here. They got to live here first. They've got to figure out why it is they want to live in Baltimore with all the that it has to offer.
Right. I did a study on the Live Near Your Work program, and it showed that people who bought in a given area actually had rented in the area before. So that there is a plus to that. But you got to look at the backside of this. If you begin to diminish the supply of detached owner-occupied houses, you're only going to increase the price of those. So you're going to create more of an obstacle to people being able to buy into those
areas. But there is, and Councilman Dorsey made this point when he was on the show, there's a time-honored tradition of not wanting to change anything about your neighborhood. You know, I mean, I've lived in Reservoir Hill in the same house for 40 years, and we've seen apartment buildings come and go. I remember there was an apartment building that was built just across the street from me. People went crazy about the parking. They thought it was going to be nutty, and it wasn't. I mean, it's been fine. There's plenty of parking. It's just not an issue. I mean, there were expectations and fears that ended up being, in that particular instance, unrealized. Diversity, Councilman Dorsey makes the point that diversity is more than just black and white diversity or, you know, racial and ethnic diversity. It's the diversity that allows some people to own a home and other people to not live in that neighborhood. What about the needs of people who want to live in these nice neighborhoods, these desirable neighborhoods, neighborhoods that have a mix? This doesn't eliminate single family dwellings. It will
reduce the supply of single family houses. If you create an incentive for investors to come
in. Oh, definitely it'll diminish the supply. But it won't eliminate the supply.
It won't eliminate it, but if you diminish the supply of a commodity, what happens to the price? It goes up. And I can't believe that people are going to develop houses, rental units in these neighborhoods and not charge top dollar for rental. See, they keep saying this is for affordable housing. No. When people come into a neighborhood that is a stable neighborhood and has a lot of owner occupants and they build rental units, believe me, they're not going to build low income rental units. They're going to build rental units that are at the top of the market.
Okay, we're getting lots of comments. Let me share some of them. We have a email from Kathleen, who says Councilman Dorsey's Harford Road overlay ordinance runs counter to the nature of Harford Road as an historic turnpike that developed organically over two centuries. That's a different issue than what we're talking about. There are some similarities, some analogies. Tom in Baltimore says many in the neighborhood support these bills and don't agree with Mr. Landers. Margaret says, I've owned a home on Glenmore Avenue in Hamilton for 20 years. No one wants what the city is doing to our street. We are ignored by Mr. Dorsey. He says we need to try new things. We had the street closed for weeks to install speed bumps and then again to remove them and make our street zigzag. It's like a racetrack. More density is not what we need. All the local community groups are opposed and no one is listening. Councilman Dorsey has said on the Harford Road overlay, for example, there are 16 or 17,000 dwellings and the changes made there affect about 1,000 of those
1,700.
Dwellings. But he also says that it's, you know, better for the businesses there. So we do have some callers as well. Let's start with Angela, our good friend from West Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Tom, and thank you, Mr. Landers. This is I have to say, deliciously insightful and intelligent conversation. And I'm holding myself back, and I want to refrain from bringing up the racialized dynamics to this, this legislation. But I'm going to be very practical. So Baltimore City, for years now, has had a terrible problem with both attracting and retaining housing inspectors. So we're talking about transforming single family homes into now units, homes that will maybe have 2, 3, 4 units. Who's going to ensure that these are not death traps? Who's going to ensure that all the standards that are necessary to maintain housing safety? Again, when things are not safe, you're also talking about housing security. Because if an apartment is deemed unsafe, insecure, then families will have to be displaced. So we already don't have enough housing inspectors. What are we doing there?
Yeah, thank you, Angela. That's a good question. Of course, there's a combination of city housing inspectors and private housing inspectors that people might hire if they were thinking about purchasing a home.
It is. But Angela, you bring up a great question, and we haven't even talked about the whole infrastructure issue. You're talking about neighborhoods that were developed around single-family detached houses. Now, and there's a 300% increase in the density. So that's density in terms of parking, that's density in terms of solid waste, that's density in terms of water usage, density in terms of sewage disposal. I mean, these neighborhoods were not, the infrastructure in these neighborhoods was not built to accommodate that kind of jump in density. So, and I don't think anyone has really thought through the unintended consequences of these big increases in density. Now, on the other hand, when you go over into West Baltimore or East Baltimore, where all this vacant property is and these big four-story buildings that sit vacant, they were built for high density in that whole area. So let's incentivize.
Concentrate on that.
Yeah, let's incentivize. If we did what we did.
But the mayor does say that that this is part of his program to address the vacancies and stuff. He says that these zoning regulations would also help along those developers who want to work in the neighborhoods you're talking about.
Well, but then let's target it to those neighborhoods. Let's not just blanket the whole city because people are going to cherry pick. I mean, let's face it, the developer's going to go where they think they can get the best return, and that happens to be the solid, stable neighborhoods that have an active housing market.
And let's go back to the phones to Bill, who's on the line in Baltimore City. Welcome to the program with Jody Landers.
Thank you. I just want to congratulate Mr. Landers for really standing up. I am a resident of the area that's affected by the overlay, and I'm a constituent of Councilman Dorsey. I would like to ask a couple questions. One is, why did Dorsey leave his neighborhood out of this whole plan if it's such a great idea? He lives in a large single-family house, as does his family. The second part is the process that he claims at meetings he's talked to all the commercial people on Harvard Road, for example, but didn't talk to any of us. And you can't get up some of our streets now because there's so many cars parked on them, and there are some double houses. If you increase the housing density, you're not going to be able to get through. And there are 14,000 abandoned houses in the city, and if they want to do it, they could spend some money there instead of giving it away at the harbor to restore those and let people live there. I just think this is a bad project. It's designed for real estate investors and help Dorsey raise campaign funds, but it doesn't do anything for the people who live here.
Okay, well, thank you for that perspective, Bill. I appreciate it. I did ask Councilman Dorsey about this, not on the show, but I had a conversation with him a while back. And he said that Mayfield is separated from the Harford Road business corridor by about a half a mile. There's a park in between, and the land use in Mayfield is different from the commercial corridor, which he was concentrating on. So that's his perspective on that, for what it's worth. And again, we'll have to ask him more specifically the next time he's on. Let's go to Martin, who's in Northeast Baltimore. Martin, welcome to the show with Jody Landers.
Hi. This is Martin. I want to comment on this. I was president and vice president of a couple of groups, Upper Fells Point and in Northeast Baltimore, and I testified in numerous zoning hearings where it was gospel that the single-family home provides more resources than garden apartments or multifamily dwellings. And when I worked for the housing department, that's what we took. Now this has been turned completely around. This bill ought to be called the Slumlord Relief Act, Manna from Heaven, because this is what it's going to create. This, what Jody's talking about, in 1972, we went through a 30-year period where we developed, where we allowed the zoning code to be thrown out for the war, and those landlords had a couple of years to change them, but they took 30 years to change them, and they created all these slums. This will create more problems. I live in a neighborhood that's primarily black homeowners, and they are going to, they're furious because they're going to, people will come in and divide the properties up and make their homes like, let's face it, like Park Heights used to be and like Upper Fells Point used to be. And I don't think this bill, I think this is the wrong answer to a problem that needs to be addressed. They're going to destroy the value of single family homes for both black and white people, and this is not right.
All right. Thank you for that perspective, Martin. I appreciate from Tanya, who says, any possibility that city and county could cooperate on a regional plan to provide more housing? We need a regional plan for efficiency and common sense to serve the Baltimore region. And she says, we as realtors did it. So perhaps Tanya's in your business, Jody Landers. Now, I mean, if you're selling real estate and you own a private home, if you own a single family home, I know in my neighborhood, there was a coffee shop there for a little while. It's closed now, called the Dovecote Cafe. And the young people who worked there had T-shirts that said gentrification is warfare. And gentrification meant that if a person like me sold my house for more than I paid for it, which is the plan when you buy a house, that's gentrifying the neighborhood, and that then is going to make it harder for people to come move into the neighborhood. It's going to raise the prices of everything. But what isn't single family home ownership almost, you know, naturally in opposition to affordable housing?
No, because when you look at, I've done this analysis for people, when I look at what they're paying in rent and compare it to what they would pay on a mortgage, oftentimes they're paying more in rent than they would on a mortgage. The impediment to...
And they're not getting the equity.
And they're not getting the equity, and they're not getting any of the tax benefits. The impediment to entering into the housing market is the upfront cost. And sometimes the ongoing cost in terms of the mortgage. We talked about, here's an idea. One of the things that fueled the housing market and the rehab market in Canton is the fact that you could get a 10-year historic tax credit, which meant the property taxes were frozen for 10 years. So let's take a look at all of the vacant properties scattered around around East Baltimore and West Baltimore, and let's create a 10-year moratorium on tax increases and put an emphasis on the development of affordable rental housing, right? But that is not devouring.
And that's an old idea because they did it. Right.
It's not diminishing the supply of single-family detached housing, which, as I mentioned earlier, home ownership yields so many social and economic benefits, not just to the person, but to the city and the neighborhood.
All right. That's all the time we have. We're going to give Dawn the last word, who says, I'm a retired urban and regional planner. I worked for the state for 30 years. I agree with what Jody Landers is saying. These zoning changes will go back to destabilizing black neighborhoods from the 60s and 70s that were broken up into 2 and 3 bedroom houses. So now the council people want to do is to destabilize African-American neighborhoods again. Well, Jody Landers, it's good to see you. I appreciate your coming in, and we will continue to stay on top of this.
Thank you for creating this dialogue. I think it is very important for the neighborhoods and residents in Baltimore City to engage in this discussion.
It is an important issue. Housing is the key to so much. All right, Jody Landers, former executive vice president of the Greater Baltimore Board of Realtors. And up next, our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, shares her thoughts on the mystery of Irma Vep at the Everyman Theater. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.